Coming up on this week's edition of BYU Basketball with Kevin Young, we're headed down the stretch of the Big 12 slate with the Cougs now playing for an injured teammate. We'll talk about Richie Saunders and moving ahead with the coach and special guest Robert Wright III. Coming up next on BYU TV and ESPN+.
BYU Basketball with Kevin Young is presented by Siegfried & Jensen, helping Utah families for over 35 years.
Once again, we are back inside Studio C. Hello again, Cougar Nation. We are at Studio C inside the BYU Broadcasting Building in Provo, Utah. It's our weekly hour-long look inside the BYU men's basketball program. We do the show in front of a wonderful live studio audience, and they are both wonderful and live here tonight. You sound great. You look good. You look good. You know, no one else does this kind of show. I talk to other coaches from teams around the Big 12, and they're like, wow, you guys put that's a real show. That's a whole TV show. I say, you're darn right it is. All right, coming up on tonight's show, we'll recap a weekend win over Colorado and a weekday setback in Tucson. Deep Blue will profile Kayla Cada. Robert Wright III joins us live in studio. We'll have some Q&A for the coach and Rob, and we'll take a look ahead to a Saturday showdown with nationally ranked Iowa State. Tip off tonight's show, let's welcome in the man, the head coach of your Cougar Hoopsters. His name is Kevin Young. Go again. Here we go. All right. One thing we get you, I think, every week is a pretty good group here in the building.
Yeah, never gets old, man. It's great to see everybody.
Yeah. By the way, winter finally did arrive while we were gone.
It did, yeah, it did. I came home to an icy and snowy driveway, and a little disappointed my boys weren't out there getting that all cleaned up.
Yeah, we arrived on the charter in the wee hours last night, early this morning. It was time to, disencase the vehicle from ice and snow in the parking lot and get home. But, snow is here, finally. Well, Coach, you've been around this game a long enough time to know that in any season, every team faces some adversity. You just had a lot of it this year, it seems like.
Yeah, it does. I actually saw something the other day. It was the Duke women's coach, and she was saying something about, the thing about adversity is you don't get to choose how long it lasts or how much you go through, right? And so, it does feel like a lot of things have been a challenge. But, as part of, sports, unfortunately. I've been doing this a long time. Never had this many guys have season-ending injuries, right, and really and kind of cripple your depth, but it is what it is. And we got guys who are hungry to get opportunities. And, Colorado guys stepped up. Last night some guys stepped up, and we've had some good practices. So, I'm excited for the challenge.
You spoke really eloquently about Richie Saunders as a flag bearer for your program since you got to BYU. And I thought that was really well stated, because he was kind of like, you needed him as kind of your anchor when you got this job, didn't you?
Yeah, no, anchor is a great word for it. He's we kind of right out of the gate, he was a huge priority for me to try to have him stay. And, it was a great, partnership. His style of play really fit how we like to play. His DNA, just his competitive spirit, along with, how much he cares about BYU. It felt like everything kind of came together in a real positive way. And so, I've thought a lot about Richie over the last couple of days. And even today I was on the phone with a couple different GMs in the NBA just talking about, his new outlook with things. And the thing that I just reminded Richie of when I spoke to him after the game was, obviously it stings right now for sure for him and for us. But, in the grand scheme of things, he's going to be just fine. He's a resilient young man. He's extremely takes care of his body. And he'll bounce back, and it'll be a blip on his radar, which is easy for me to say right now, but in his big basketball life, he's going to be just fine.
Once the word started going around the league about Richie, other coaches were reaching out because of the respect he has in this conference.
Yeah, that was amazing, honestly. It was some well thought out things. Some of it I shared, with Richie, and he kind of epitomizes everything you want in a college basketball player, and just a player, period, a young man, period, raised the right way. And you know, he's an easy guy to root for, you know, and an easy guy to point towards, like, hey, do it like that guy does, mm-hmm. you know. And so between all that and his love for BYU, you know, he'll forever, like I said the other day, he'll forever be a legend here.
So now you're in the reinvention or reconfiguration process. We saw step one last night, and it'll be a work in progress as we go here, right?
It will be, you know, and again, like, every game is different, you know. Against Arizona, I think some things that we did were necessary for that game that may not be applicable to, say, Iowa State, right? And so we got to, you know, take it game by game a little bit and just try to find the right combinations and still, you know, have some semblance of, you know, familiarity with the guys, so you can't get too crazy with it. But, you know, basketball is really not that complicated. You know, you got to play harder than the other team and share the ball more than the other team does, no matter who's out there, no matter what style or scheme you have to do. And I'm trying to just keep that sort of the main focus for our guys.
One of the great things about your background is that you can shift contexts a little bit, and maybe the audience here didn't hear fully about how you related the Richie situation to some of your G League experiences, which are kind of like retooling on the fly by necessity in very short spans of time.
Yeah, without getting too long-winded, I'm reminded of one trip in particular. We were coming back off of a back-to-back, and we landed, and we were getting ready to play that night. And when we landed, my best player got called up to the Suns, ironically. And then I went home, took a nap, was driving to the arena for the game. My second best player got called up to the Nets on the same day, right before we were getting ready to go play it back-to-back. So, you know, I've done it before. It's not easy, that's for sure. But, like I said, I think it really forces you to strip things back to just WMI, what's most important, and we try to live in that world for our guys. In some ways, I think it can help us just be a little bit more streamlined in terms of, like, what matters to go win.
Bouncing around a bit, speaking of professional experience, somebody you got to spend a season with when you were with the 76ers is Big Boban, Boban Marjanovic. And Boban's been showing up at college campuses around the country in the last few weeks, and he was in Tucson last night at the Arizona BYU game. He was playing in the band during the game, and then afterward, you got to talk with Boban a little bit.
Those pictures are unreal. Yeah,
fellow. Now, Mihajlo's not a small guy, yet Boban makes him look a little smaller.
Yeah, fellow Serbian, but. Now he's one of, like, the nicest human beings I've ever met. You know, very, you know, his size obviously draws you to him, but just his personality is amazing. Just a sweet person, honestly. So yeah, we had a great time in Philadelphia. It was good having him there. I said, man, hey, Tucson's great now, but we get about 19,000 at the Marriott, so you got to come to BYU.
Yeah.
So we're gonna try to.
Did he commit to that, or?
Yeah, he's actually still playing pro. And
I saw that. He signed like in December to
play.
So
he was like, yeah, I had this thing already scheduled, so they let me miss one game. I'm like, okay. Must be nice to be Boban, I guess.
It is. Something else that happened last night in Tucson was AJ DiBonsa passing Danny Ainge for the all-time BYU freshman scoring record for a season. That record stood for 48 years.
Yeah, incredible. You know. You know, just, you know, what with all the adversity, this and that, you know, I think what AJ's been able to do so far this season maybe gets a little bit, you know, lost, I think, honestly. And also, you kind of get used to it, you know. I mean, what the guy's doing is clearly historical, as you just mentioned. But, you know, I know for AJ, you know, he wants to win. You know, he wants to win basketball games at the highest level, and he's trying to do everything he can to help our team win. And obviously, we need every bit of it. And you know, scoring is something that we're going to need even more, but we also need his playmaking and to kind of help empower some of the other guys. And I know that's something that he's looking to do a little bit more of. But, yeah, man, unbelievable talent. You know, I've said it once, I'll say it a million times. I mean, I think night in, night out, he's in my opinion, he proves why he should be the number one pick in the NBA draft.
He really is showing it night to night. And last night, by the way, was his 19th game with 20 or more points. He and Danny were tied with 18 such games. Now he broke that record as well. Outstanding stuff. By the way, scoreboard watching is kind of a thing now in the Big 12. We're heading down the stretch, and each night we get to kind of see what's happening around the league, and you really can't predict on any given night who's necessarily going to win a game or by how many. It's a fascinating league that way, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's really difficult. You know, it's a difficult league. One of my coaches put things into perspective for me. I think 6 out of our 7 losses have come from teams who are either ranked 14th or higher. You know, with a bunch of them being in the single digits. So it just shows the strength of the conference, which, you know, we have, you know, we're continuing to try to just take it day by day and get better each day. As a friend of mine in the audience reminded me of good days add up. You know, good days add up, and we're trying to just take it day by day. So all these experiences that we've accumulated, by the time we get to the postseason, obviously hopeful that that can really be something we can lean on.
All right, let's look at some moving pictures now, shall we? We'll start with BYU and the Buffs Saturday at the Marriott Center, because we had two games since we last met here in Studio C, the Colorado game and the Arizona game. Let's take a look at some individual highlights and stats presented by Intermountain Health. It was the BYU and Buffs Saturday in Provo. It was Jimmer Fredette jersey retirement day. It was also the day Richie Saunders' season unfortunately ended in the first minute with that injury. Someone had to step up, and that someone on Saturday was Robert Wright III. Rob would score a career-high 39 points. 29 of the points came after halftime. BYU found itself in a battle with the Buffaloes. Rob shot 75% from the field. A perfect night from the three-point line. Made 11 of 13 free throws. He drew 8 fouls, had 4 assists, ended up scoring a point a minute, basically, as he set his second career-high for the week, because he scored 30 earlier that week at Baylor. Rob was showing why we call him Big Shot Rob, Coach.
Yeah, no, he played good. He played good. And the thing where I think he's excelled, you know, in that game and in the Baylor game was just how under control he was. You know, he's able to get to his spot, but still, you know, use his, you know, his strength to play off 2 feet, to be under control. And then, you know, he's been shooting the ball at an extremely high clip from three as well. And that's something that, you know, we're going to need a lot more of with Richie being out in terms of his ability to knock down, catch, and shoot threes.
And Rob's field numbers and three-point numbers both taking a big jump from his first year at Baylor.
Yeah, you know, it's a credit to really him and understanding. And that was something we talked about a lot, even when we were recruiting him, just talking about, you know, we felt like we offered a style of play that is really conducive to, you know, helping guys be more efficient. Mm-hmm. And he's bought into that quite a bit. And, you know, for us to be at our best as we move this thing forward, given the situation where he's going to have to play a huge role with continuing to do what he's done.
Let's take a look at the final stat sheet from Saturday. BYU beats the Buffaloes in overtime, a 90-86. Rebounding, a big factor for the Cougs on Saturday. Double-digit threes always helps. Just a nice all-round game for BYU. And Colorado had been a little stung, and they played a good game against you on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, like, going into that game, we knew it was going to be tough. You know, they just took one on the chin. You know, their coach was all over their guys. Felt like, you know, we were going to get kind of a desperate, wounded animal type of effort, and we did out of them. They've got some, their guard play is really quite exceptional. But I said this the other day, yeah, that was arguably one of the hardest games I've ever had to coach. Just with seeing Richie go down in a fashion and then seeing him go off the court, you know, I didn't think it was going to be to the extent that it was, but clearly it didn't look good. And then to get the news like that, hey, he won't return in this game. It just kind of, even with all the stuff going on with Jimmer, it kind of took the life out of the gym, and, you know, we were searching. And so, very difficult game, you know. So proud of our guys to be able to just fight the emotions off and be able to deliver a win. You know, the same thing happened to Texas Tech the other day when Toppin goes down, and then they weren't able to pull the win out. So it was a double whammy. So that was a huge win for us. You know, couldn't afford to lose that one given just where we are in our season, but also, you know, with the news of Richie. So it was tough, so proud of our group.
Yeah, and as you noted, Jimmer's day was a special day nevertheless, to have him in the building, his family, and to see 18,000, you know, white 32 jerseys all spread around was pretty cool too.
Yeah, remarkable. What an unbelievable moment for him and his family. That's just kind of where my mind goes, just, you know, to see your jersey going up in the rafters with your kids and your wife and your extended family. You know, so many people, I mean, you know, obviously BYU is a family-centric environment, but I just think in sport, so many times you just see the individual. You know, I saw this, I've seen it my whole career, and how many people actually play a role in that person on the court? All of them. They all have just teams of family and support and teachers and ex-coaches and sisters, brothers, grandmas, grandpas, everybody. And so, you know, it's really a testament to everyone in his circle and for everyone to be able to enjoy that and forever, enjoy that with it being in the rafters is just incredible.
Yeah, it was a special day. We'll never forget it. Next up for BYU was a trip to Tucson to take on Arizona just last night. The away team had actually won the last four games in this series. BYU and Arizona played a wild one last season at the McHale Center. BYU is looking to make it to three wins in a row on the Wildcats' home floor last night, and it was a record-setting night for the fantastic freshman, A.J. DiBonsa, as we noted. He needed 24 points to pass Danny Ainge and become BYU's all-time freshman scoring leader. He set the record and then some. AJ scored 35 on the night, his sixth game with 30 or more. Only five BYU players have ever had more 30-point games in a season. It was AJ's 19th game, as we said, with 20-plus points. That breaks a record with Danny. He added seven rebounds, two assists, along with his 35 points. Everything he does, you can see him doing at the next level. It would fit in quite nicely, wouldn't it?
And then some. You know, I think I was actually talking to the GM, like I said, about Richie, and we talked about AJ. And, you know, I just think at the in the NBA world, having lived that life forever, it's you know, the amount of space he's going to have in that league compared to what he's dealing with in our world is going to be wildly different. And so, you know, to play him one-on-one in a spaced world where there's, you know, multiple 40% three-point shooters around him and the way that they officiate in the NBA, I mean, he's going to really be sensational in that league. As it relates to us, you know, like I said before, the scoring is always going to be there. You know, he's going to have to take such a larger role, too, in playmaking to help empower the rest of our guys.
Let's go to the final stat sheet from last night. As the Wildcats do win it 75-68. Great comeback by BYU late again to get close in this one. And, you know, you sometimes have to roll the dice a bit on what Arizona might do or do well. They haven't been a team that shoots a lot of threes. In fact, at your place, well, they shot 12, went 4 of 12, and they make 9 of 21 last night.
Yeah. And, like, you know, a lot of our game plan was to force them to do something that they're not – that they don't want to do, which was beat you from three. And they were able to do that in the first half. Second half, you know, that really wasn't the factor. But, you know, and I say this all the time, you know, there's a lot of ways to, like, look at the game at the end of the day. I mean, you have to make shots. It's the bottom line. You know, we had a bunch of open threes. You know, Mihai had a couple early ones that didn't go in. You know, Kostic had a good look. Tyler had a good look. AJ missed some wide open ones. And, you know, it's hard to, you know, you run good offense, you get good wide open shots, you got to be able to knock them down. And I know that sounds very basic and true, but that's the nature of the game.
True enough. Let's go to the assist count presented by Siegfried & Jensen. Siegfried & Jensen assisting Utah families for over 35 years. Against Arizona, BYU had seven assists on the night. Next is our Bully on the Boards category, brought to you by Big Bully Turf. Woman founded, waffles approved. Arizona has out-rebounded every opponent they've had this season. So BYU loses the battle on the boards last night, 39-32, 12-9 on the offensive glass.
Yeah, and I thought that was there was a key moment where they, you know, a guy came in off the bench, their backup big, and he hurt us. You know, and that's where they got a little spread. I mean, the game was pretty neck and neck, and then they were able to grab a couple of second chance points.
C.D. Gay did that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, and then that really kind of gave the spread. And so, you know, that's a tall task, no pun intended, against that team to try to keep them off the boards. But, you know, I think with Richie, you go to his shooting oftentimes, but, I mean, he was one of our best defensive and offensive rebounders. Yeah. And so we need other guys to step up in that area.
All right, taking a look now at BYU's remaining Big 12 schedule, down to just five games left on the conference slate. You see Iowa State as BYU gets back-to-back Big Ten opponents, or back-to-back top 10 opponents this week, with Arizona followed by ISU. A home game with UCF on the road for that Eastern swing, and then Texas Tech will come in to close the regular season. And you mentioned it already, Coach, but two all-conference players in this league go down with ACLs within days of each other in JT Toppin and Richie.
Yeah, two tremendous competitors. You know, Toppin's a guy who, you know, obviously is reigning player of the year in our league. I think he was in contention for national player of the year, a fantastic player, you know, tough competitor. And then obviously, you know, we've talked a lot about Richie, so you just hate to see it. Unfortunately, it is a part of sports, but, you know, wish both of those guys speedy recoveries.
Okay, time for our first break on the show. And this reminder that your day-to-day Cougar sports play-by-play happens on BYU Sports Nation. Join Spencer and Jerem weekdays at noon Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio. When we come back, Deep Blue will feature Keba Keita. And Robert Wright III joins us in studio when BYU basketball with Kevin Young continues after this. Stick around.
BYU Basketball with Kevin Young is brought to you by Siegfried & Jensen, helping Utah families for over 35 years. Brady Plus, delivering the right supplies plus support to ensure businesses are more successful. And Deseret Book, home to real-life stories of faith, grit, and hope.
Wow. Somehow we are down to our third to last show of the season. Unbelievable. Next week, by the way, will be one day and one hour earlier next Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. Welcome back to BYU Basketball with Kevin Young. Tonight's Deep Blue is presented by Deseret Book, home to real-life stories of faith, grit, and hope. Dive deeper today at DeseretBook.com. Well, BYU big man Kaba Keita has come a long way from his home of Bamako, Mali, both figuratively and literally. Through a work ethic instilled by his mother, the sacrifices made by his family, and faith in God, Kaba has his eyes fixed on a bright future. Here now, Deep Blue with Kaba Keita.
The energy in my house growing up, man, that was the best, but sometimes the worst. You know, you're sleeping and then the kid just 7, 8 in the morning, just wake you up with screaming, playing around. Like, at the time, I hate it, but now that I'm like here, I missed it.
When you are a kid, you have a dream. And our mom was always like, yeah, but you cannot do this when you are lazy. You need to work. You need to work. You need to believe in yourself. Sleeping cannot give you this. Always watching TV cannot give you this. You need to work. So this was the kind of things that push us and motivate us from our mom.
As a kid, I dreamed to like travel the world. I thought I would be an explorer. You know, I used to watch documentaries. I used to love, I still am, like animal lover, nature lover. And I will drive the countries that I want to go visit. And one of them was, here, Canada, China, Russia, Australia.
Both of us was playing volleyball because we start with volleyball. Volleyball, football, we play almost all the sport.
Basketball, I didn't really pay attention to it because growing up, I thought it was only for girls, you know.
After like 1 month, I started to like basketball more than volleyball.
My first practice, that's when I had my first dunk. I still remember that was the best feelings ever. Right there is what really, truly got me into playing basketball because the hype and the joy that I felt at that moment was just amazing.
We heard about Kaba, and so I'm like, okay, next time I'm there, I wanna meet him. And his mom and dad were very gracious. It wasn't like a major conversation. It was kind of known that there's a family that's willing to help Kaba, give him an opportunity.
I remember the sadness when I was leaving, how I couldn't stop crying even though I was trying not to. I remember looking at my parents. I don't know when I'm gonna see them again. It was really hard. For sure.
It was humbling, because I can't imagine like taking my child and saying, hey, I'm going to send you over to Europe to give you an opportunity. That's a huge sacrifice, huge, huge sacrifice. And I admire his parents for being willing to do that.
I never traveled alone before, nor like gotten into an airplane. I had to ask the security guard. The guy, he showed me where to get my luggage, and where to exit. Next day, the morning, I woke up and I thought I was back home for a shake, but I quickly realized that I wasn't. The fact that I couldn't hear my little siblings, like cousins, that was the first time I actually really missed that. And I was like, oh man, I just started, you know, crying. It was hard, it was sad. I was also happy, so it was all mixed up, so.
Kayvon realized, okay, I gotta make this, like, this basketball thing work so that I can get a scholarship.
Growing up, I saw how hard, you know, my grandpa and, you know, my grandma especially worked to provide for everybody else. And my parents trying not to disappoint, just always do.
He was really raw. Like, he didn't know anything from setting a screen to blocking shots to where to move. He knew absolutely nothing.
I started playing basketball like a year before I got here. I had no fundamentals, like nothing.
We're playing Montverde Academy, and we were down, and we put Kaba and some other guys in, and he just started being a maniac, like blocking shot after shot after shot. That was like the moment. It was like, okay, he finally understands it. He actually showed some emotion, and it was like, okay, now we got something.
People always tell me, oh, yesterday your brother was playing. So I say, no, don't worry, guys. He still have to improve a lot. The target is to go up, not down. Every day you need to go here.
You gotta sweat for something that's really meaningful to you, because if it's your goal or dream to have something, it won't be easy. And if it's easy, then probably not a good thing.
When you give so much of yourself to the game, your why has to be something bigger than yourself.
He's not a flamboyant, flashy person, you know, so I know money's not the drive for him, clothes, none of that. I think it's his family. I think he does everything for his family.
It's a great story of him seizing an opportunity and being able to, you know, have it change his life, and like you said, live out a dream. I mean, he's been able to, you know, do a lot of cool things through basketball, and basketball's been able to, you know, pay him back in a lot of ways that have impacted not just him, but his family as well.
Don't give up. Believe in God, because God is real. Follow your dreams and always be respectful.
A great story. You know, along with Richie, another one of your stalwarts that you've been able to count on for 2 years. In fact, I think if you look at these last 2 years, you'll probably end up having the most starts of anybody you've coached in your first 2 years.
Yeah, no, Cave has been unbelievable. You know, again, stylistically, you know, great fit for how we want to play with his ability to roll the rim and be a presence at the basket. But more than that, just, you know, he's a like Paul Peterson said, he's not flamboyant. He's not flashy. He just kind of does the dirty work. I think a lot of the things that he brings to the table goes unnoticed. Never really wants credit and just shows up and does what he's asked. And great guy. Loved coaching him. I thought it was just timely because I said to him last night after the game, he was just in there by himself in the locker room. I said, you know, that's the Cave that I'm used to. You know, I thought he got back to, you know, playing with that force and that edge, and you know, we need every bit of it. But I love these deep blues, man. I love seeing their hometowns, their families, and again, it goes back to what I was saying earlier, just how many people are involved in their lives. It's awesome.
Yeah, great production, and what a humble guy. And yeah, it was like old Cable last night. It was great to see, for sure. All right, tonight's special guest in studio joins AJ DiBonsa as one of the most impactful newcomers in BYU basketball history. He's BYU's second leading scorer right now. He's BYU's assist leader. He's BYU's three-point percentage leader. He's BYU's minutes played leader. And he made one of the most memorable buzzer beaters in Cougar basketball history earlier this season. Please welcome into Studio C for the first time, Robert Wright III. Good to see you, man. How are you doing?
Good to have you.
Good to have you. Welcome in.
Hey, what's good?
It's great to have you. Tell us a bit about being the oldest of 10 siblings.
I mean, for me, it's crazy because you have to get to learn how to relate with so many different people. It's kind of similar to like being a point guard, honestly. Mm. And I think that's what helps me a lot.
A point guard over two families at once, two starting fives. All right, you're the oldest, right?
Yeah.
Okay. From next oldest down to the bottom. Let's get their names. Boom, 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 boom.
Okay, so you have Latrell, Stefan, Zaki, Reagan, Skylar, Kobe, Carter, Cash, and Bryson.
And no one knows whether he was right or wrong, but we know he was right on that one, I think. Yeah, okay. Wilmington, Delaware. It's like only about a half hour-ish south of Philly, right?
Yeah.
And about an hour and a half, maybe or less, northeast of Baltimore. So the two big cities would be Philly and Baltimore. Were you more a Philly guy or Baltimore guy?
So when I was younger, I played with Team Thrill in Baltimore. So my dad used to drive me up to practice like twice a week, get off work and go straight up there. So it was like an hour 30 every day. So I'm getting home at like 11 p.m. in middle school, like super late. But then in high school, I went to school in Philly, so.
Okay. And Coach Linehan is from Chester, which is like halfway between Wilmington and Philly. Do you guys relate a little bit to that neck of the woods?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I grew up playing in Chester. That was kind of the first leagues I was playing in, so I'm familiar.
And Coach, you're familiar.
Very, yeah, very. In fact, when I met Rob's mom and my wife, we were all having, actually you weren't even there, but we were eating with his parents, and we get to talking and come to find out our middle son Van and all of Rob's siblings were born in the same hospital in Delaware. I was like, we're getting this guy. we got the mom connection. Like, it's good. But yeah, Delaware is a small place. So I think people that either have been there, lived there, or certainly are born there have a little pride and connection.
Because you were coaching in Wilmington with the 87ers.
Yep.
And then, of course, you ended up with Philly, which is just up the road, too. So you know that area pretty well then, don't you?
Very, very familiar. And one quick thing about the how many siblings that Rob has, we had a little kickoff party at my house, and we had we were playing bingo, right? So everybody's in the thing playing bingo, and they're giving out prizes. And I'm like, where's Rob? And so this was like hours. So after the thing's done, I see my boys, they're all drenched in sweat. I was like, where was Rob? He's like, he was playing tag with all the kids. So he was out there running around with all the kids. And he's a big kid.
That's
himself,
a big brother so, for you, yeah, right for there. Sure. You played high school ball in Pennsylvania and then Montverde Academy in Florida for your final year of prep, right? Oh, by the way, during the Deep Blue we just saw on KBA, you talked about Wasatch Academy playing Montverde. Did you ever play Wasatch?
Yeah, we played them my first game my senior year. We beat them pretty bad.
So who was on that Wasatch team from BYU? Who was
from BYU? I don't think nobody was on there.
Yeah, I think
okay.
It was after that.
Just after that? Okay, all right. The college recruiting experience, what was that like to go through?
It was different because I was kind of the first person from my family to experience something like it. So, and I ended up committing like super early. Like I got committed like my sophomore year summer. But I mean, it was a pretty fun experience. I found Baylor and I thought that was the right school for me and my family. So I committed.
You got a season of Big 12 basketball under your belt at Baylor. You got some NCAA tournament experience too, with Mississippi State, a win and a loss to Duke. So you had a lot going for you in that first year. What helped you decide to transfer and decide on BYU?
Really, it was just an opportunity. I was kind of looking for something new. And then when I got the offer and heard about everything, I just thought that'd be a nice place for me just to grow both on and off the court.
We got one good look at Rob up close last year at the Marriott Center. A game went to overtime. BYU wins it. Rob almost won the game for Baylor last year.
Yeah, we couldn't, like most teams in our league, couldn't keep him out of the paint, couldn't keep him away from the rim and off the foul line as well. So, you know, he's been able to I think, grow from his experience in our league last year. I think we talked about how much more efficient he's playing this year, and I think having that year under his belt certainly, you know, points to just how much he's growing and how mature his game is becoming.
How's life as a BYU Cougar for you?
It's been great. I mean, obviously we had some adversity this season with a lot of injuries, but I mean, it's been a good experience for me. I mean, the fans been great. So, I mean, honestly, I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, you've also had some great highs in this first year at BYU, and it's tough to imagine a higher high than what we had at Madison Square Garden in New York City. I still smile thinking about that night, and maybe you do too. What a special experience to have as a college player and to do it at a place like that. It was so cool.
Yeah, it was super crazy. I mean, my whole family was there, like that was because it was close to home. It's probably 2 hours from my house. So just to have an experience like that and just have an opportunity like that is amazing.
Yeah, I never get tired of looking at that. That was a, oh man. Oh, I love it. Oh man, and they call it the world's most famous arena. To do it on that floor, that's something, isn't it?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Family, how often is family able to, because I've seen your family at a number of games this year, but it's a big family. I mean, what kind of sacrifice is it for them to kind of, you know, get to as many games as they can?
I mean, my dad, he tries to come to everyone. I think he only missed one. I think it was Oklahoma State. And then my mom comes to almost everyone she can. And my siblings, not as much because they got school and basketball games. But my family tries to come out.
It's awesome to see him around. We are going to get to a break here in a second, Rob, but this has been a season. Again, with some adversity like you talked about. What excites you, though, about heading down the stretch and kind of figuring some things out on the fly and still being a good team when it matters most here in March?
Really just still having a huge opportunity in front of us. I mean, the season's not close to being over. We still got, what, 5 or 6 games. And then we just got the Big 12 tournament. We could build some momentum going into March.
And even though he's young, Rob is, you still rely on him as a leader on this team already, Coach, don't you?
Yeah, for sure. And even more so now, you know, had a conversation with him, you know, the other day when Richie went down, just talking about you know, how much we need from him as a leader across the board with his, not just his voice, but his example, you know, and helping to empower, you know, the other guys that we need to step up. So, you know, I sleep great at night knowing that the ball's in his hands.
Robert Wright III is our guest in studio. We're taking a break. Coming up next, some fun and games with Rob and the coach when BYU Basketball with Kevin Young continues. Stay with us. Kevin Young, presented by Siegfried & Jensen, helping Utah families for over 35 years. Time for our weekly game show feature on the program. And this week, we're rolling out a classic coaches show exercise we like to call Drip or Drown. Drip or Drown is back. Here's how it works. Rob, we're going to be showing you various wardrobe combinations that some of your teammates have worn as posted on social media accounts. Your job is to tell us whether the clothes qualify as drip or serious drownage. So drip or drown. Drip is good, drown not so good. Here we go. We're going to start with the man we call Moo. Drip or drown for this.
Okay, so I don't know.
This needs some explanation from you. Okay.
Yeah, so the pants, they're a little out of style now. But back then when he wore this outfit, it was drip for sure. It was drip.
So at the time, we got to go with drip.
Yeah, at the time it was drip.
Okay, maybe out of style now, but at the time, we're calling drip for Kennard Davis Jr. That's how it goes, drip or drown, we have a drip. Okay, number two, it's our friend J-Mac. Jared McGregor. That's him there in the blue. Drip or drown for J-Mac?
I think it got to be drip. Just look at the scenery.
It's for the surroundings. Yeah. It fits, all right.
But J-Mac's Rob's guy, so we can't say anything.
All right, drip for J-Mac. I like this next one. This is Dom. We're going to see Dom here. A reflective, very thoughtful-looking Dominique Diomande.
With the pay, oh, that's classic.
Yeah, this is drip for sure. It just looks like he's from Paris.
Yeah. All right, so we have 3 straight drips. Next, we are going, this is Hadim. We're going to see some Hadim boop for this next one. Let's see. Yeah, a little like a fuzzy sweater.
It's real subtle. Personally, for me, drown.
Oh, he's fighting you tomorrow. No.
It'll be a rough practice tomorrow. Coach, you're welcome to weigh in on any of these, by the way. Would you go drip around on that one?
I think Hadeem fancies himself as a drip type guy. You know, so I have to prop him up and say drip.
I like it. All right. Next up, we're going with our man, Mihai. Mihailo Boškovic. This was from our trip to New York City. Mihai has got, he's got the shades on. He's got the toque on, or the woolen cap, some would call it. He's got a heavy coat, maybe some gray denims. What are we thinking, drip or drown here for Mihai?
That one might just be a drown, too. It's super just subtle. It's just subtle.
I need more. Yeah. I need more.
Need more, a little more flash?
I need more, especially in New York.
Yeah.
And by the way, I did use the word toque. Anyone from Canada knows that a woolen cap, a.k.a. a beanie down here, is a toque up north.
Okay.
So if you want to introduce toque into your vernacular, that I think people will be really impressed. All right. Number six. Got some Beto action here, I think. Drip or drown for Abdullah Ahmed. Just some casual sweats. Maybe a black hoodie, some Nikes.
It's calm. I see drip.
Drip?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a Beto being Beto.
Yeah. It's not. He's not trying to force it. Yeah.
Got to be yourself.
Yeah.
Okay, I like it. All right. Number seven. Now, this one, this takes us in the Wayback Machine. It very well could be that Richie Saunders, this could be a cheerleader's top at Riverton High School. This is back in the day. This may be like 9 years old from Richie Saunders.
This is drown for sure.
Drown for sure, yeah. For sure.
Please make sure Sierra Saunders sees this picture. Yeah. Unbelievable.
We didn't take too long on that one. All right, number eight brings us to the man, AJ DiBonsa.
Now, you said Beto wasn't doing it.
Yeah,
too
I think hard. I think this is drown just because he's trying too hard.
Oh my goodness!
I definitely have to go drown. From
that one. Wow, we got a couple of
like a '90s like R&B singer or something.
All right, AJ DiBonsa and the Funky Bunch. There we go. Okay, nine. Oh, this is Nate Pickens. I thought, okay. Did he just get up? Is it just a walking around leisure suit? What do we have going on here with Nate?
He looks like he's comfy, so it might be drip.
Yeah.
It just might be.
Yeah. Personally, I'm super in on the leisure suit.
Yeah.
So okay.
It's drip for
Nate. So we got drip for Nate. I like that. And then we have just one more to go. And we're not looking for AJ at this one. We are looking for Robert Wright III here. Rob on the right. Judge yourself. Drip or drown on this one.
I think for this one, it's drip.
You want to explain what was going on here?
I just think I had the sweater on. I had the oversized shorts.
They are oversized.
I was in Florida, so just trying to figure out the weather. Yeah. I think it's drip.
Yeah. Drip. All right, there you go. That's drip or drown, folks, and Rob aced it. That's how it goes. All right. After our break, we'll have some audience Q&A. That's coming up next. This is BYU Basketball. Kevin Young, back after this.
BYU Basketball with Kevin Young is brought to you by Siegfried and Jensen, helping Utah families for over 35 years. Intermountain Health, official medical provider for BYU athletics. And Ken Garth, we hear you.
For some audience Q&A for the coach and Robert Wright III, presented by Ken Garf, where we hear from you, the fans. Before we get to our audience members, Rob, though, we just saw that little Jimmer Fredette clip coming out of the break. After the game's over, Saturday against Colorado, you got to spend a few minutes with Jimmer on the floor. What was that conversation like?
That was my first time meeting him, so it was kind of crazy for me just to see that he's a legend. He was kind of just telling me that he loves my game, so to hear that from him, I mean, it was great.
Very cool. All right, audience questions and these guys' answers. Young man, welcome back. How are you doing?
So I'm Lucas, and I got a question for Rob. So after that segment, with all those funny outfits, I got to know that, you just kind of got to think that, like, you know, that kind of has something to do with their personality. So my question for you is, like, what's the funniest thing a teammate has ever said in the huddle?
Funniest thing a teammate said in the huddle. That's a tough one. I don't even
Are huddles not the time for funny stuff, Coach?
No, they're definitely not the time for funny stuff. I'll tell you one that wasn't. Here's one that's not funny, okay? Hey, man, what coverage are we supposed to be on this guy when he posts up? I don't know. That's not funny. So don't know what you're supposed to do in the timeout.
Yeah. Oh, great. No. Next up.
My name is Nixon, and my question's for Rob. What made you play basketball instead of football?
So I grew up and I played both all the way until I was 13. And then my dad kind of let me make the decision because I love football. I was a quarterback, but I really didn't. I just love basketball way more, and I just wanted to put my all into it. So my dad just kind of let me make that decision on my own and just let me stop playing.
Excellent. All right, next.
Yeah, my name's Robin. This is for Rob. What's the most surprising thing you've learned about being at BYU?
Really just how welcoming everyone is. I mean, I honestly didn't know too much about the school coming in, but just being here, being around the people, they've been great to me, and it's like a big support system.
Yeah, what do you think of Cougar Nation? Because you see it around the country, haven't you, so far?
Yeah, I mean, we played in Florida. That was probably the biggest moment for me. We played in Florida, and we had home court advantage.
Against Miami.
Yeah, it was crazy.
All right, next.
My name is Chase, and this is for either of you. What would you have to do, like, daily to get to college level?
I say for me, I'm an undersized guard, and I come from a small place, so kind of just have to work hard every day and just seize every opportunity because you never know when you're going to get your next one.
How about you, Coach?
Yeah, I would say, you know, I tell my kids this often, so when you're not working, somebody else is. Right, so if you really want it, so does everybody else. And the time you're not working, that means somebody else is working and you're getting behind.
We heard some great work stories from Jimmer this last week too, didn't we?
Yeah, amazing. Yeah, and what I loved about what he said was he fell in love with just seeing the ball go through the basket, right? Yeah. And that was such like a purist thing to say. It was just what's awesome about the game.
All right, final question.
My name is Caleb, and this is for Rob. How did it feel to beat your former team, Baylor?
It felt great. I honestly could say that I was just super happy after the game. I hugged all my teammates and I just thanked them because I did not want to lose that game.
And they said they wanted to win it for you. And it was a wild environment that night too.
Yeah, it was super wild. I was getting booed, getting called a lot of names, but it was good to get the win.
It was great. And a career high that you topped then a few days later. Awesome. As we go to break, here's tonight's And One trivia question presented by Brady Plus, providing Jansan food service and packaging supplies plus support. Brady Plus ensures businesses are more successful every day. Question, who is BYU's single season three-point field goal percentage record holder? We're putting a minimum of 70 threes made for this record. Who is the record holder in three-point percentage? The answer coming up next. Stay with us. More BYU basketball with Kevin Young after this. Hey, welcome back. We're back on the show. BYU basketball with Kevin Young. Here is tonight's trivia question. Who is BYU's single season three-point field goal percentage record holder? The minimum here is 70 threes made per game, so roughly two a game, more or less. And the answer here, Andy Toulson. Nearly 50% back in 1989-90. One of Andy's teammates was my broadcast partner, Mark Durant, on that team. Next up for BYU, it's a second consecutive top 10 opponent in Iowa State. BYU's won three of four meetings with the Cyclones since joining the Big 12, including both games last season. Two epic games, really. Right, Coach? One in Ames and one in Kansas City. Those were two of the wildest games, certainly of your first year.
Yeah, the game at their place was arguably game of the year, I thought, in college and in the double overtime. And really, it felt like four games in one just in terms of how up we got. And then at the one in the Big 12 tournament when the kid Jones was –
Curtis Jones got hot.
It was like
Jimmer.
It was
– or Seth.
Any good shooter just was unconscious, right? And then we turned it around in the second half. But, you know, good program, good coach, good team. It'll be a fun game for us.
Yeah, and coming off two really nice wins, they're 23-3 overall, 10-3 in the Big 12. There's some facts about Iowa State, and that'll be the Saturday late game. 8:30 will be our Mountain Time tip on Saturday night. Again, a top 10 team in both net and KenPom. And, Coach, that's what you get in the Big 12 as you go from Arizona one night to Iowa State, the next pair of top 10 teams.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's what makes this league great, man. You always have a great opportunity to get a big win, and you know, we're hungry for a big win, and I know Cougar Nation will be out in full force that night. It'll be rocking in there.
All right, ranked versus ranked, and there you see the one-hour pregame on both BYU TV and BYU Radio, 8:30 Mountain Time tip. We're going to bookend that with the UCF game, which is already next Tuesday back here at the Marriott Center. BYU and UCF, they'll face each other this one time this year, and that'll be a late game as well, a 9 o'clock Mountain Time for BYU and UCF. That's going to be next Tuesday. So two games between now and when we next meet here in Studio C. UCF will be next Tuesday night, and again, it is late. And then next week's coaches show will be one day and 1 hour earlier. We'll be back here in Studio C Wednesday at 5:30 Mountain Time. So, Coach Rob, we're going to leave with you. A couple quick thoughts about Iowa State on the weekend.
They're a tough team. I mean, I've watched them a few times this year on my own, and I played them last year and played against the shooter that they got. And I mean, he's a good talent. Then they got Jefferson. He's great. They got a veteran guard, so they're a tough team.
They kind of have their own big three, right? They've got Lipsy, Momchilovic, and Jefferson. It's a good group. It's been around for a while.
Yeah, no, talented group. I mean, I think they pride themselves on just how chaotic they try to make the game, which other teams in our league have done that this year, and I think we've handled it well, so it'll be fun.
All right, good luck this weekend, guys. And, folks, thank you all for being here. We'll see you all next week. Have a great rest of the week.